Today, and let's get to a word here, man, because we're coming, this is, what, we're finishing out the fifth month of the year, so we're about halfway through, amen, there's something I believe the Lord wants to encourage us in today. We're just going to hear His voice, amen, but let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, and we're going to follow God as He speaks unto us today out of His word, amen, amen. Need a word from God today. We thank God that He has a word for us on today. It comes from Nehemiah chapter 2. Remember that we came into this year saying our change is going to come. Amen. Uh-huh. Amen. Our change, my change, your change is going to come. And it's coming. Amen. I believe that by faith in the Son of God. Amen. That where you stand today, this is not where you're going to be standing when all is said and done in 2016, amen. And you're not going down, you're not getting worse, you're going to come up and you're going to get better, amen. I'm on my way to better.
Amen.
Can you say that? Amen.
Amen.
I'm on my way to better.
Yeah.
Amen. I know where I may be here right now, but I'm on my way to better.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm on my way to better.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 2 as God encourages us in this word. Amen. This encourages us in this confession. And that's our title. Amen. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to better. That's what God is speaking unto us today. But let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Amen. I love the book of Nehemiah. Amen. The building or the rebuilding of the wall. We're going to look at a little bit of that today. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2, though, at verse number 11. Amen. This is Nehemiah, amen, saying, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went out, I went on to the gate of the fountain, into the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we look to you now, God, to speak a word of life unto us. Only you have the words of life. Only you have the words, O God, by which we should live. And so, Father, we look to you and you alone right now to speak unto us, O God, to give us revelation, to give us inspiration, to fill us with faith and with hope, O God, as we continue to walk this journey called life. Father, we thank you, O God, that your word, O God, illuminates our path, that it shows us the direction in which we should go. We thank you, God, that your word is filled with promises that you shall keep. And so, Father God, we look to you now. We look to your word. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes that we may see, bless our hearts that we may receive. And Father, most of all, God, we're praying for transformation. Father, we're praying for a changed heart. We're praying for a changed outlook. We're praying, oh God, for a change to come into our lives. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit and by your holy word. And so, Father God, right now we just look to you as we humble ourselves before you. You be exalted, dear God. You be glorified. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm on my way to better. The book of Nehemiah, amen, we just read a passage of scripture where Nehemiah had come to Jerusalem. And it says, he says here he was there 3 days, and then he went out and he looked at the wall. But I want to go back just a moment, amen, to Nehemiah chapter 1. Because that's where things get started. Amen. It's good to go back where things get started in order to understand where you are and then also understand where you're going, right? So we go back. And we go back to chapter 1. And Nehemiah had gotten a visit from one of his brethren, one of his kinsmen who came to visit him. And you see that in verse number 2. And the kinsmen told him that the city of Jerusalem was in disrepair, that the people were greatly afflicted. They were a reproach. They were viewed as just, you know, a disgrace and a disappointment. Amen. They were living in a terrible way. And the wall of Jerusalem was also broken down, and the gates were burned with fire. And so it says in verse number 4 that when Nehemiah heard this news, he sat down and he wept and he mourned certain days. And then he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I think we need to start there because we all have something in our lives. Amen. And maybe more than one thing in our lives. And maybe it's now, maybe it's been in the past, maybe it's in your future, but there are things that come into this life, unfortunately, amen, that make us sit down, weep, and mourn, amen? It happens. You know, we talk about the Word of God where it says, in this life you shall have tribulation and challenges and things like that. And if you've lived long enough, amen, if you've lived long enough, there have been days that you have sat down and wept and mourned, amen, because certain things, amen, just become overwhelming. We live in a sin-inflicted world. Yes. We live in a world, amen, that is filled with challenges and disappointments and on every hand, amen, people let us down. Sometimes we let ourselves down. You know, sometimes things happen to us for no good reason. And it knocks us off our feet, and it makes us look at life differently, amen. And we find ourselves sometimes where we sit down, we weep, and we cry. And if you haven't ever had a day where you sat down, wept, and mourned, then you haven't lived long enough. All I can say to somebody is that just keep on living. Keep on going, amen. And I guarantee you, not to scare you, but it's just truth, amen, that we all have days where we're going to sit down, we're going to weep, and we're going to mourn.
Yeah.
And none of us are immune from it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just because you got saved don't mean that you are spared those days where you sit down, you weep, and you mourn.
True.
Now, the thing I love about it, though, Nehemiah says, I sat down, I wept, and I mourned certain days. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many days, but there were certain days, amen. See, he wept and he mourned and he sat down and he cried, but he did it for certain days. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it forever.
Yes.
There were certain days. I don't know what the amount, I don't know what the number of his days were, but there were certain days that he did this.
Yeah.
And then after those days, amen, he got up from his weeping and his mourning, and he now fasted and he prayed.
Yeah.
What am I saying, amen? God let us know, yeah, you got certain time to weep and to mourn and to sit down, but at some point you're going to have to rise up out of your ashes and fast and pray and seek out the God who can deliver you from that thing, amen?
Amen.
How many of you know, amen, you can sit down and weep and cry and mourn all you want, but no tear ever delivered anybody. Come on, somebody. There ain't been one tear that has delivered anybody from their affliction. Tears don't deliver. Jesus does, amen. And so, see, we can sit down weep and mourn, but just make sure, amen, for certain days. And I don't know how many days there are, amen. And God knows how many days. Amen. For some it may be 2. For some it may be 60. For some it may be 365. I don't know. All depends on what you're weeping and mourning about, amen. But it's good news, amen, is that this, that your weeping and your mourning is only for certain days.
Yes.
That there's going to come a time of deliverance. Why? Because you're on your way to better. You're not going to stay there in that weeping and mourning state, amen. It's only for certain days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That struggle is only for certain days.
Mm-hmm.
Those disappointments are for certain days. It's not for all your days. Amen. It's just for certain days. But there'll come a time where you are going to come into a place called better.
Yes, yes.
Where the weeping and mourning stop, and now you are at a place called deliverance and breakthrough. Amen.
Yes.
You're at a place called victory and triumph. Amen. So if you are today sitting down weeping and mourning, and I don't know why, amen, it could be because of a relationship, it could be because of finances, it could be because of health, it could be because of a job loss or a foreclosure on your house, whatever the case may be, understand that's for certain days, but you're on your way to better. You're on your way to better. And so Nehemiah was in this place for certain days. And he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven, and he prayed not only for himself, but he prayed for the people of Jerusalem.
Yes.
And when you read the prayer, Nehemiah said, I know we've been hard at it. We haven't been listening. We haven't done what you said for us to do, Lord. Can anybody relate to that part?
Yes.
I haven't been listening.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done what you wanted me to do, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. But he prayed, and he prayed for God, and he prayed that God would forgive him and forgive the people, and he also prayed that he, God, would give Nehemiah favor with the king. Because in verse 11 he said, for I was the king's cupbearer. He stood before the king, and he brought the king's cup to him. And then we see at the beginning of chapter 2, it says it came to pass that in the 20th year Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And because Nehemiah is the cupbearer, he took up the wine and gave it to the king. But now as he comes and he's bringing this wine to the king, he said, now I had not been before time sad in his presence. But today he was sad in the presence of the king. And the king said to me, why are you sad? You're not sick. Why are you sad? Nehemiah said, then was I so afraid. And we discussed this before, but it bears mentioning again. Nehemiah knew, I serve the king.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand in his presence being sad.
Mm.
Why? Because kings took pride in their servants being well taken care of, healthy, and happy.
Yeah.
If you remember, amen, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, she said, you know, I heard about your wisdom, Solomon. She said, but when I look around at your servants and how they sit and how happy they are and how well-dressed they are, right?
Mm.
She said, the half has not been told.
Mm.
See, part of what she saw in him being an effective king was his servants were well-dressed, and they were happy, and they were fit, and they went around looking good.
Mm-hmm.
See, kings took pride in saying, look, if you're my servant, how you look reflects on me.
Amen.
And so if you're standing there with your face hanging on the ground, you're saying something is wrong with with me and with my provision because I'm your king. Oh, would to God that we would get that in our spirit. That here we are, amen, the servants of the King of Kings. And yet we believe that we have a right to stand in the presence of the King with our face on the ground. I want you to know God says, yet that reflects on me. Come on, somebody. Yes. That reflects on me.
Yes.
And yet sometimes, amen, all of us can just lift up our hands in the sanctuary and say, Lord, forgive me, amen. Because we've all stood before God with our face hanging on the ground. As if we had a divine right. Because, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. I want you to know, amen, that how you and I go through life directly reflects on how well our King is taking care of us. And just like the Queen of Sheba looked at Solomon's servants and concluded that that was a good reflection upon Solomon. When people in the world look at us as God's servants and they see us, amen, and they can see our faces and our way we deal and the way we walk and the way we talk, and they come away with a good report, that reflects well on our God.
Yes, it does.
Oh, but if they see us mumbling and grumbling and complaining and just, you know, going through life like we just beat up and tore up, amen, that doesn't reflect well on the God we serve.
That's true.
Come on, somebody. It's not just about us, amen. People are looking at us, and they're looking to see, especially when they know you're a Christian, they're looking to see how that God of yours treating you.
True.
I heard this said, and I believe it's true. In fact, I know it's true. Just sometimes it's a convicting thing for me, but I heard it said, amen. They said, if you want to know how a man is treating his wife, just look at the wife. Her face is up. And she's bright, has a good countenance. That reflects good on you as a husband, amen. Now, let's put a qualifier on this one. This is not to excuse the wife. But understanding, you still serve the King of Kings. So even when your husband may not be doing the right thing at a certain time, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And you can still walk around. I mean, you got to drag around because, see, you can yet win over your husband. Right, Christian? With your conduct. But what's the point? The point is this, is that how we are, it's not just when the world sees us, it's not just about what they see in us. It's about what they see who's connected to us. And especially when you call yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
You are connecting yourself to God.
Yeah,
you are connecting yourself to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so people want to see, oh, okay, you're a Christian? Well, let me take a look at you and see how well your God is taking care of you.
Yes.
Amen.
That's true.
And so listen, whether you're standing before the Queen of Sheba, whether you're standing before the world, whether you're standing before the God of your salvation, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Yeah.
Amen. Lift up your head, amen. Yeah. Why? Because you're on your way to bed. And I know that there's some things going on and there's some things that brought you to your knees and you're mourning and you're crying and you're hurting and you're in despair. But it's not going to end like that.
Amen.
It's not going to end like that. I know you're struggling now, but it's not going to end like that. I know you're hurting right now. Your body's hurting right now. But it's not going to end like that.
Amen.
You're on your way somewhere. And so, you know, Nehemiah was afraid. And then he said to the king, he said, let the king, verse 3, live forever. why shouldn't I be sad? He said, the city is all messed up. See, sometimes you got reason to be sad, amen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have a dead reason. That's why you were crying and weeping. That's why you were sitting down. Amen. You have a reason. Life is tough sometimes. How many of you know that?
Yes.
I praise God, amen. Sometimes I look, amen, and I think about when I was younger, and man, it's so true when they say that the wisdom that youth is wasted on the young. You ever heard that phrase?
Yeah.
Youth is wasted on the young. Man, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'd be like Muhammad Ali. I'd be a bad man. Do you understand? Oh man, I didn't understand life. I thought things were, I just didn't have a grasp and understanding. And look, there's a whole lot of things I still don't know, but I sure know now more now than I did back then.
Amen. Yeah.
I know more now than I did back then. Youth is wasted on the young, but sometimes you do have reason to be sad, amen. When you're young, the worst thing that happened to you, amen, is somebody breaks your crayon, and then you get a little bit older, somebody steals your toy, and then your mother tells you you can only have, three cookies, and what I mean? That's like the whole world is coming down. I mean, I wish I could go back to those being my problems, amen?
Yeah, exactly.
But when you start to live, life gets complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. There's a lot of good in life. Don't get me wrong, amen. Hopefully you find that person, you marry, and you have kids, and you raise a family, and you get a nice job and a career. But how many know all those things, man, they come with the potential for trouble and grief. Heartache and pain.
Yeah.
It's like the more you have, amen, the more you have to lose. Mm-hmm. And so when those things start to take a hit and a hurt and you start to lose some of those things, then pain and heartache come into your life that you never could experience at that 4 or 5 year old child level, amen. And so we have all this pain and we have suffering, and we have all these things that come into our lives. And sometimes we have reason to cry. So Nehemiah said, why shouldn't I be crying? Mm-hmm. The walls of Jerusalem are torn down. And I need to be able to go back. The king said to me, so what do you want? And Nehemiah said, I prayed to the God of heaven. Amen. When somebody asks you what you want, sometimes you need to do a quick one. Amen. Yes, God, what should I say? He prayed to God of heaven. But what did he say? He said, King, I need you to send me back so that I can rebuild the wall. And I need you to give me some letters that I can bring to the authorities when I go back so that they know that I'm coming here with your blessing and with your approval. And the king gave him what he wanted. Amen. Amen. And so he goes back to Jerusalem. That's where we find ourselves. He comes back to Jerusalem, and we find ourselves at the scripture point that we started at verse number 11. And he comes back to Jerusalem, and he has letters. He has a word from the king. And if anybody wanted to doubt that you don't belong here, he would just slap the letters on them. What are you doing here? You don't have any right to be here. What? Nehemiah said that kind of thing back then. Nehemiah came. He came from just near Camden. And he and he would drop the letters on him. I belong here. I belong here. I have the authority to be here.
Yeah.
I've been sent here on assignment.
Yeah.
And you have no right to stop me.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah!
How many of you know we got letters too? Right? We got letters in this word right here that God has appointed us and given us authority.
Yeah.
And he's given us an assignment.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell us that we don't belong here.
That's
you
true.
Can't tell me that I just dropped this on you. I'm a child of the one who wrote this book.
Yes.
My daddy wrote this book.
Amen.
You can't tell me I don't belong here.
Huh.
And so he came back, and he comes back with his letters, and now he goes. But see, now he has the authority.
Mm.
Come on, somebody. He has the authority. He even had a kingly escort.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
They gave him an escort into Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's there for 3 days, though. And after 3 days, it says that Nehemiah, he said he went out at night. Why did he go out? He went out at night to look at the gates. To look at the walls. Why? Well, see, first of all, I was saying the wall is important.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The wall protected the city. Right? It kept out enemy invaders.
Mm-hmm.
But the wall also kept in God's people.
Yes. Yes.
It was a place where they could live and dwell and be safe and raise families and all those things. Amen. And it kept out the evil influences of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody right now, I ain't going to mention his name, who's talking about building walls for all kinds of wrong reasons.
Amen.
Lord, help us. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
But God's wall was a good wall, amen.
Amen.
And oh, totally different. It's a good wall.
Amen.
But the wall was broken down. But Nehemiah went out by night to look at the wall. And the scripture said, he said, and when I went out, I didn't tell anybody what God had placed on my heart to do. Oh, see, this is where it's good for you right here, amen? God has placed on your heart something that you haven't even told anybody about it yet.
Amen.
Hmm? If you've been walking with God, amen, and you've been coming into this, and you've come into this year saying, my change is going to come, I'm telling you, because God told me that he has spoken some stuff to you that you haven't even told anybody yet. There's some stuff you are holding, there's some visions that you have, and see, part of the reason why you haven't told, because you've been scared. Because it's too wonderful. Or it's too much of a change. It may bring too much of a change in your life that even for you, you ain't ready for it yet. And so you know folk around you aren't ready for it yet. So you're like Mary, you're just keeping it to yourself. And Nehemiah, he had the report from his brother about the walls being broken down, but he said, I gotta go out and see this for myself. And he went out at night, and there's some men with him, but he didn't tell anybody anything. But what's he doing? He went out and he looked at all the wall.
Yeah.
Amen. He looked at every corner of the wall. What was he doing? He was making assessments.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, okay, where is the most work needed right now? What's the stuff that needs the priority? How badly is the east gate wall broken? Uh-huh, I see that. What about that fence? Oh, I see that one over here too. And so he's making assessments. And what did he do? He did it by night. He did it when no one else was around. He did it when he didn't have much in the way of distractions.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is this, amen. The thing that God placed on your heart, you're going to have to make some assessments. See, you're going to have to look at your life, and you're going to have to be honest about it, amen? Because there's parts of your life right now that are broken down as the wall.
Yes.
I know that you don't like to hear that. Don't tell me my life. I'm telling you, there's parts of your life that are broken down as the wall. There's some of this, part of your gates are as burnt as the gates here in the city. But God is going to do something. But first, you got to get out and have an honest assessment of your life. Where am I right now? See, Nehemiah couldn't do anything until he saw where things were right now.
Yes.
See, before you talk about I'm on my way to better, you got to at least know where you are right now.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, how would you know when you arrive at better?
Yeah.
You got to know where you are.
Yeah.
So that means what? You got to go out and make an honest assessment of your life. Amen. If the wall is broken down, don't get mad and hide it. Say, yep, that part of my life is broke down.
Yeah.
Amen. Look on the other side. Oh, yeah, this is all burnt up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this thing over here is all chewed up. Amen. You got some burnt up, broke down, chewed up parts in your life. How do you know? God got some too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
But we have to make an honest assessment. And you don't have to tell anybody. Don't take nobody with you. You just make an honest assessment of your life.
Yeah.
Why? Because you have to, listen, God wants you to see where you are so that you can watch where you're going.
Amen.
He wants you to see where you are so you can watch where you're going. Because where you are now, you ain't staying there.
Praise God. Praise God.
But make the assessment.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I remember when we lived in Virginia. Oh, I went down to Virginia, Brother Les, because they told me I was getting a good job. I was making more money, almost double what I was making in New York. You know what I thought? I said, oh, man, I got it made. And then I found out a simple thing about math and about salaries. Do you know it's not how much you make? It's how much you spend. You can make whatever you want to make. But if you're spending just as much as you're making, I mean, you know, you're in trouble.
Yes. Yeah.
And I found out something about the place we went to live in Virginia. It was expensive. They had all kinds of taxes. They tax, you got to pay tax on your car. No, I said too. I don't mean when you buy it. I mean every year.
Wow.
Personal tax.
Yeah, personal property tax.
Yes.
Now, I live in close to D.C., and then you know what they tell you? When you live close to the city,
yeah,
it costs more.
Yes.
So now all that money left was like... And so, I'm telling you, we got our credit report. We put our credit report one time. I'm telling you. And at the bottom of my credit report, I saw like little fingers. Because my credit score was so low, it wasn't even on the page. That's how low it was.
Oh, Lord.
Sister Manel got the report. And this was long before freecreditscore.com. This is when you had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you only got one. One of the three. And so she got the report. She looked at it. And I'll never forget this. It took me a couple of weeks to get up to courage to look at it. Because I knew it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to look at it. Glory to God. I didn't want to look at it. But I'm telling you this right now. I'm convinced, as I look back over my life, I'm convinced that my pathway to deliverance started when I sat down that day to look at that report. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I had to make an assessment.
Yeah.
I had to see where I was in order to watch where God was going to take me. Amen?
Yeah.
I had to see where I was. And so listen, some of us aren't looking at our burnt down, broke down, tore up walls because we don't want to look at it. We don't want to look at that part of our life. We don't want to deal with that. And so we just push it over to the corner and act like it's not there.
Mm.
But listen, if God's going to take you to better, you're going to have the courage to go out by yourself and look at the damage around you, amen? Look at your life and say, you know what? This relationship is messed up. This over here is messed up. This over here is out of order. Because how else is God going to give you the anointing and the power and the ability to fix what you don't even know is broken? You have to acknowledge that it's broken. And don't worry about that. Nehemiah wasn't afraid of the wall. I heard the report, but I got to see this thing for myself.
Mm.
And so he went out and he surveyed the damage of the wall. And he didn't tell anybody at first. And then we get to verse 17. And in verse 16, he said, I still didn't tell him. After I saw it, he said, I didn't tell the Jews, the priests, the leaders, the nobles, nobody. Mm. And then finally he went to them. And he said, you see how this, the distress that we're in? You see how broke up these walls are? The gates are all burnt up? He said, come on now, let us build this. Let us rebuild this wall. Amen. And he said, and I told him how good God was to me, the grace that he extended upon me, how the king gave me favor, and the words that were spoken unto me. And they said, okay, come on, let's rise up and build. See, so there comes a time where you do have to come out and now share the vision and share the thing that God has given to you.
Amen.
There's a time for you to make the assessment of your life and make the assessment of the situation. And then you got to get to the point where you now exercise some leadership and some faith and some confidence in what God has told you. And you tell those close to you, not everybody,
mm-hmm.
but those who are in it with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not everybody's in it with you.
That's right.
There's some people who claim they're in it with you, and they just hoping that you get taken down by life. They ain't really with you. But God knows, listen, but forget them. God has given some people who are in it with you.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Yes,
thank God for the people who are in it with you.
Yes, yes.
Amen. If 100 people turn their back on you, but only one person is standing with you, thank God for the one.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God gives somebody who's in it with you.
Yes. Yeah.
And at some point,
amen,
you're going to have to be honest with the people who are in it with you.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at my life, and I've seen the burnt down gates, and I've seen the crumbling walls, and I see all the rubble and the debris in my life. And since you're in it with me, I gotta share something with you.
Wow.
God told me it ain't staying this way. And see, people who are in it with you don't want your wall to be broke down.
That's
they don't
right.
want your gates to be
That's
burnt up.
Right.
And so people who are in it with you
yeah.
will immediately get on board with you
yeah.
and say, let us get going
yeah.
and get this
yeah.
thing back to where it's supposed to be.
Amen. That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Wow.
Thank God for those who are in it with you.
Yes.
But not everybody's in it with you.
That's so true.
And Nehemiah has some jokers called Sanballat and Tobiah and Jeshem and some Ammonites and some Arabians and all these people. And he had a lot of opposition.
Yes, he did.
But he didn't care. He went building the wall. Amen.
Amen.
He went building the wall. And you turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Amen. Sanballat and Tobiah, you know, they start making jokes at them and talking about, if you build a wall, this wall gonna be so flimsy, if a fox ran up on it, it'll come falling down. That was said to him, amen. What do you think you're doing? If a fox came on and jumped on the wall, your whole wall will come tumbling down. There's some people laughing at you. Do you know that?
Yes,
they're laughing at you. What you doing over there? Amen. That thing's not going to last. It's going to fall down. What? You trying to go back to school? You ain't going back to school. You ain't going to be able to make it. What? You trying to get a new job? Man, if you tried to get a new job, they wouldn't even let you in the front door. Oh, there's some people who speak some evil over your life, Jack.
That's right, yeah.
But don't worry about those haters, amen. Amen. Keep your focus on God and on the people that he has placed in
yes.
your life
yes.
who are with you.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to have some opposition. But watch this. So they're talking all that stuff to them. And Nehemiah, praise to God. He said, God, hear them talking about us and turn their reproach on them. Right? But in verse 6, this is an important part. He says, so we built the wall. They're talking about us, but we still built the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the wall was joined together and a half thereof. Why? For the people had a mind to work. See, that's the thing, amen. After you do your assessment, you got to get to work.
Amen. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Don't do your assessment and then go, God, fix it. Come on, somebody. You can't look at your life and say, my east gate is burned down and my west gate is torn up and the wall to the north is crumbled and the wall to the south got all kinds of cracks in it. Lord, can you fix the wall?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Because you know, you got to throw in Jesus' name on it. But that's how it gets done, right? I just got to stand there and pray and go, in Jesus' name. And then I can sit down and wait for God to fix it. You tried that in the past. Let me ask you, how that work? How many of you know that when God gives you a vision and then you make the assessment of your life and then you pray, you still got to have a mind to work?
Yes, yes.
If you don't have a mind to put your hand to the plow, ain't nothing going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
It's your field.
Yeah.
God's not plowing your field.
Yeah.
He gave you the field. He gave you the plow, but you're going to have to plow your field.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You're going to have a mind to work. What does that mean to have a mind to work? That you make a decision. I got something to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I don't want to stay here, and I'm going to have to do something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not fighting this battle by myself, but I can't sit down and think God just going to do everything for me while I sit down and just eat my popcorn or you know, go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
No, if my walls are crumbling down, I got to get over to that wall that I made the assessment on, and I got to begin working on that part of the wall.
Yeah.
So when you look at your life and you see different things in disarray, you just can't pray, God, fix it. You pray, God, fix it. Show me what I need to do. And God's going to say, okay, now go over there. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Start cleaning this stuff up. But my credit card, I never forget, God started to gather up your bills. Little did I know, the reason why God wanted me to gather up my bills is because in a couple of years, he's going to pay them all off. You're going to pay them all off. But if I don't go and gather my bills, come on, somebody. Oh, they're going to take my sons. They're going to take my sons. Well, you know what you do? What do I do, man of God? Go borrow some pots. And borrow not a few. Borrow pots? No.
Okay.
I'm just going to pray to God that he send the money in the mail. I know some people that money just show up in the mailbox. I'm just waiting on God. I'm believing God to send money in my mailbox. You can do that if you want to, but if your neighbor goes out and start collecting pots, I'm telling you, she's going to be blessed while you waiting for something to come in the mail.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to have a mind to work.
Yes, yeah.
You have to say, okay, Lord, all right, I'm praying, I'm believing on you, but now show me what to do.
Yes.
Give me an instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some direction.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what it is that I need to now put my hands to it or say. What do I have to speak about? What do I have to do about? Well, just tell me what it is, Lord.
Yes.
Wow.
But it's not going to happen without you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people had a mind to work. And if you keep reading, it tells you, amen, that all the enemies kept coming out.
Yes,
they
did.
They kept coming out. They even got to the point where they said, why don't you come down and let's talk about that. And Nehemiah said to them, why should I come down? And this great work ceased.
Yeah.
See, not only you have to have a mind to work, you have to make sure that you fight off the distractions from people who aren't in it with you.
Yeah.
Amen. They're going to try to stop you. Those so-called friends are going to try to stop you on your way. When they see you now moving in the direction of your deliverance, you know what I'm saying? When they start to see you making strides, then people now want to act like they're your friend.
Yeah.
Say, why don't you come on over here and hang with us? But all they're trying to do is stop your progress.
That's right.
They weren't in it with you in the first place. Don't let them jump on the bandwagon
now. Amen. That's right.
You got to understand God's giving you a spirit of discernment.
Yeah.
You should know who's with you.
Yeah.
Amen. And who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And when those people who weren't with you try to all of a sudden act like they're with you, all kinds of alarms should go off in your spirit.
Yeah.
Why should I stop this great work and start hanging out with you?
Wow.
But every time I tell them, aren't you going to do that? He said, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then they came, they started threatening them. They told him, they said, when we come upon you, we're going to come upon you so hard, you're not even going to know where it's coming from. And so Nehemiah said, okay. So he said, from that day on, we went up on the wall, and with one hand, we did the work.
Yeah.
And with the other hand, we held the weapon.
Exactly.
One hand, we got a tool, and then the other hand, we got a weapon. Why? Because the enemy may come at any time as you're making progress.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you got to be ready to keep working. And at a moment's notice, you got to be ready to fight.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because the devil ain't gonna let you get. You think you're gonna get to better without the devil trying to keep you at worse?
Ha.
Wow.
He's gonna try to keep you at worse.
Yeah.
Amen. He's gonna try to keep bringing you down.
Yeah.
You ain't getting the better by walking and like it's going to be some kind of an easy walk.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to work with one hand, weapon in the other hand.
My God, that's
But you're on your way to better.
Mm-hmm.
He is trying to distract you. He's trying to get you to stop.
Thank you.
Let's look at Nehemiah 6. And let's look at verse number 15. We are going to jump to the end.
Amen.
I'm on my way to better.
Amen.
Amen. There's some things in my life. Listen, when God talks about, you know, things in our lives, amen, where walls are broken down and everything, amen, doesn't mean that you're a bad person.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're a failure. We're broken people. How many of you know that?
Yes, we are.
We're all broken vessels.
Yes, we are.
Amen. None of us are whole. Amen. We all need Jesus still. Amen.
Amen.
We still need God. There's no embarrassment to say I got some problems in my life. Amen. Listen, the sooner you can admit a problem in your life, is now you position yourself to be helped by the problem solver.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen? By God. Because now God can help you, because now you're being honest. You made an honest assessment.
Yes.
Amen? And, you know, maybe that broken down wall over there is your temper. Man, I got a bad temper. Stop trying to say people just get on your nerves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, if you keep saying that, well, people just get on my nerves. No, you got a bad temper.
Wow.
That part of your wall is broken down.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
But we got to make that honest assessment. Lord, I got a bad temper.
Mm. And he said, okay, now I'm going to help you build that part of your wall. Mm.
Mm?
Mm. I'm going to give you some patience. I'm going to give you some self-control.
Mm.
I'm going to give you some meekness with the strength under control.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to get that if you don't believe. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
That doesn't make you a bad person. Amen? Doesn't make you a bad person. I remember when people, again, when we had all those financial issues, and then we had people were judging us, thinking that we spent on a consumer debt. We had hospital bills because you know, Jasmine and Joseph both were born with serious medical conditions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Had severe hospitalization at a time when we didn't have any health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I get people, you know, when they're all mad about Obamacare. I'm not turning this into politics, but I just wonder, what in the world is wrong with this country?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it a bad thing for people to have health care?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
But it was that not having health care that put us in that bad financial situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yet people were thinking about it, we were irresponsible. And Sister Nana and I had to sit there and just know that they're judging us about that. No, that's not how we are.
Yeah.
Oh, but thank God, amen, that he knows how to turn tables on folk, amen. He knows how to lift you up. He knows how to set up one and to cast down another one, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you just keep walking with God, and God is going to bring you to better.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, believe that.
So we're not, nobody's a bad person because you got some broken down walls in your life. It makes you human.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you in need of God. But don't be sad about your wall. Be glad about you got a God who knows how to fix the wall.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so let's go to verse 15 of Nehemiah chapter 6. Glory to God. Verse 15. Nehemiah says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul. In 52 days. And when it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, but they perceived that this work was wrought about God. Here's the thing. I don't know how long it should have taken to rebuild the wall, but it took 52 days. Less than 2 months. And they did it with great opposition, right? Less than 2 months, they rebuilt that wall. So Nehemiah went out less than 2 months prior, and he looked at the wall, he surveyed the place, and it was a wreck. It was all broken down. It was such a shame, amen. He was crying about it, amen, praying about it, mourning over it. And he saw this thing, and it was like it was a wreck. But in less than 2 months, God turned it around.
Yes.
Because the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah had a vision. He shared it with the right people. He remained in prayer even against the even when faced with all of the opposition. He refused to compromise his principles and the standards of God.
Yes.
He stayed with it, and God anointed him and those who were in it with him to complete this work in record time. In less than 2 months, they rebuilt this wall. I don't know, amen, but here we are. We're 5 months into the year. You came into this year, Charles, saying, my change is going to come. But here's the thing that God is saying to us, and here it is, with a ribbon tied around it, amen. It's time to make honest assessments. Where are you right now? No finger pointing. Come on, somebody. No blaming it on other people. No talking about people make you mad, people don't do this. It ain't about them. It's about you. It's your wall. It's your wall. Make an honest assessment. God is saying, make an honest assessment. It's time to make an assessment. Mm-hmm. We're 5 months into the year. Assessment time. Mm-hmm. Make an assessment of your life. Make an assessment of every part, amen, of your wall. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And then after you make that assessment, you come to me, and you pray, and you fast, and you look to me, amen. But not only that, I'm going to help you, but you are going to have what? A mind to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Make the assessment, but understand the reason why you're making the assessment, because you need to know exactly in what area you need to get working on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. There's an anointing in that place, amen. Once you see it, amen, God's going to place an anointing in that place, that area of weakness in your life, but you're going to have a mind to work.
Yes.
The anointing alone is not going to, you're going to stand on the side and let it just do magic. You're going to have to operate in the anointing and fix that part of your wall. And I'm not saying to you, amen, that in less than 2 months, everything's going to be good in your life. See, that's some guy, that's some person who just wants you to go, ah! But here's the thing. I'm not saying that it won't.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, what am I saying? That when you and I have a mind to work, we make an honest assessment, God will go to work in our life, and we will see a transformation take place in our life that will be a lot shorter than you think.
Yeah.
Some of us think we're so far away from deliverance, and I sense this in my spirit in so many ways, where God tells me, you're closer than you think. You remember the story, we're going to end here. You remember the story of the man who he fell off the cliff, and he was hanging on by a branch?
Yeah.
And I forget what he was saying, but he kept hearing a voice telling him, just let go. And he's like, I can't let go! And he
said, help me.
Yeah, help me. We just let go. And he wouldn't let go. And what was the thing, right? He was like a couple feet off the ground.
2 inches off.
Yeah, you're 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
See, some of us are 2 inches off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We fell, and we fell on a branch. And we think that we're going to plummet down into the deep.
Yeah.
But you're only 2 inches off the ground. Let go. Amen. You're closer than you think.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Your change is closer than you think.
Yeah.
Your better is closer than you think.
Amen.
Just get to work.
Amen.
Make the assessment and get to work.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
And then let God put an anointing on what you're doing and a blessing on what you're doing and bring to pass in record time. The turnaround that you've been waiting for so long.
Yes.
Amen.
But it's time to make the assessments, amen?
Amen.
And then it's time to get to work. Amen. Why? Because I'm on my way to better.
Amen.
I'm not staying here. Amen. Am I here and you're here at different places? You know that, right?
Yes.
You gotta hear, I gotta hear, everybody gotta hear, amen. It's in here.
Amen.
We all have a here. You're not staying there.
That's right.
Amen. You need to tell yourself that. I'm not staying here. I'm on my way to better. I'm on my way to better. Amen. Why? Because God has shown me some things. But now it's up to me to go out and make the assessment of my life, be honest about it, and then get to work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And no opposition, no devil in hell can stop you from getting to where God has planned for you to be. God just needs us to get in line with the program.
Amen. That's right.
Amen? Amen. I'm on my way to better. Amen. I'm going to ask you to rest on your feet and pray. Then pray for me. I'm not staying here. Father, we give you praise and thanks on this day, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, first of all, because you love us.
Yes.
We thank you, God, because you're mindful of us. You never take your eye off of us, and you never lift your hand off of our lives. We may feel that way sometimes, God, but by faith we know that you are right here with us, true to your word, never leaving us nor forsaking us. And God, right now, God, we admit that there have been some days where we have sat down, we've wept, and we've mourned, we've cried, and we've been in despair. But Father, as Nehemiah said, that's only for certain days, for a certain number of days, for a certain season. And Father, we believe by faith that we're coming out of that season. We hear your word, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Father, we're seeing the break of dawn. Hallelujah. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We believe, God, that your word that you've sown into our spirits in the beginning of this year shall come to pass, and our change is going to come. But Father, now we hear your voice speaking unto us and exhorting us to go out and to make the assessments we need to make. And then to come back and to share with those that you have blessed to be in this thing with us. The vision that you have given us for better. And Father God, we have a mind to work, and we're going to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to get to work, God, and doing the things, oh God, that are necessary by the leading of your Spirit, that we may see the power of God operate in our lives, overcoming all enemies, all obstacles, all challenges, all setbacks. And Father, we believe, God, that as we go forward, we shall see the powerful hand of our God moving speedily in our lives, bringing the transformation that our hearts desire. I hear you saying, God, I will grant you the desires of your heart. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the word that you have spoken to each one of us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you right now, God, for the honesty and the humility to go forward and make honest assessments of our lives.
Yes.
I thank you, God, for the courage that you are instilling in each one of us to rise up, oh God, in the face of the enemy and all opposition, and to get to work in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may see our lives rebuilt and restored and see the blessing of God like never before. Father, we thank you that right here, right now, wherever it is that we are, each one of us standing in our own respective places, we each lift up our hands and we thank you, because we declare by faith that it shall come to pass that we are on our way to better.
Yes.
We declare it, God, now establishing. We give you all the praise and the glory. Jesus. We're on our way.
If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. Yeah.